WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Arty Moss-Cohen, in for Terry Gross. On today's Fresh Air, we're going to preview one of the stories from the next edition of the public radio program, This American Life. It's called I, Danny, Zoom Revisited, and is produced by Jay Allison as part of his ongoing series, Life Stories. I, Danny, Zoom Revisited is about something that happened, more to the point, something that didn't happen to reporter Dan Gettleman.
This is about a lie. A lie I tell almost to this day, but not after this day. Anyway, I'm Dan Gettleman, Danny, and I was in the first cast of the TV show Zoom. How are you? Chances are, Zoom is either something you've never heard of or something you can't forget. And it's probably the only TV show remembered for its address. Zoom was a public TV show for kids in the 70s, produced by WGBH in Boston and aired all over the country. For those of you who never heard of Zoom, here's a little context from television historian David Kleeman.
Zoom was really the first children's television program to put children at center stage, to tell them that their ideas, their works, their creativity was very important. It gave them a chance to submit ideas for the program, to submit artworks, to submit pretty much anything that they thought was important in their lives, and then it might appear on the air. But one interesting thing about Zoom as a generational identifier, it's one of those programs where if you walk up to people who are of that age, who did grow up with Zoom, and say the name, they'll sing the theme song back to you.
Okay, here goes. Come on and zoom, 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 ah, zoom. Come on and zoom, ah, zoom, ah, zoom, ah, zoom. We're gonna
give it a try. I remembered constantly singing the theme.
People who know it show great enthusiasm. They're willing to do the Bernadette Butterfly thing or risk, you know, singing the zip code.
Boston, Mass. 02134. I still have it.
02134. Send it to Zoom.
It was such a big part of my life, and I remember, the first time I ever saw a kayak was on Zoom.
And I was just dying to be friends with the kids on the show or be one of them.
Oh, come on and zoom, 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 zoom. We're gonna zoom, 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 zoom.
That was like, that was as much a playground litany
as, we're gonna show you the sky.
You know, ring around the rosies for me.
We're gonna teach you to fly high.
We're gonna zoom, 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 zoom.
02134.
Yeah.
02134. Send it to Zoom. You know, I haven't sung that in years. Come on and zoom. Come on and zoom, zoom. Come on and zoom.
Okay. So, suffice it to say, for the purposes of this story at least, Zoom was a big deal. And if you were a cast member of Zoom, you were famous.
Zoom was a given every week, and I don't ever recall watching it with you, though. Now that I think about it, I don't recall ever watching that show with you. Maybe it was too painful. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
That's my best friend Adam, and he's right. It was painful. I guess I better tell you my lie now. I wasn't really on the first cast of Zoom. I was almost on the first cast of Zoom. They actually cast me, and then they cut me. I can't tell you how horrible this was for a 10-year-old kid, but I guess I can try. That's what I'm doing here. Here's what happened, or at least what I think happened. Memory can protect you from the truth sometimes.
I'm sitting in the dining room of my parents' house talking to my parents about Zoom. And sitting around the dining room table.
To reconstruct my memory, I tried talking to my parents first.
No, I think he told me that he liked certain qualities that you had. One of them was being very forthright.
Here's my dad telling me what he recalls about how I talked to the Zoom producer, Chris Sarson, during the audition process.
But some of the things that you said, whether they ticked him off or not, I don't know. But the two I remember is that you said that they were wearing rugby shirts. And when he asked you, what did you think of the rugby shirts, you said, they suck. Now, that was what, 12? 12, 12, how old were you?
10.
10. Well, in those days, that was very precocious there. That I don't know. Maybe it was popular then, too. But in any case, I was embarrassed when I heard it. Not because of the word, but just I thought, oh, gee, there goes the farm. And the other one was the name of the show, and apparently you had told this Chris that you thought that Zoom was not a very good idea, that it was kind of corny or one thing or another, and you suggested, I don't know if you gave them another idea, but you suggested they change the name of the show. Those are two things I remember.
My father apparently remembers me as somewhat of a pain in the ass, and I suspect he's right. I was a bit of a, shall we say, a show-off. I certainly liked attention. I had gotten the Zoom audition in the first place through a Sherlock Holmes skit that my dad, my brother, and I did around the family tape recorder.
Oh, Elms, I'm John Alfalfa. Don't you remember me?
Of course, yes. I remember you very well from the club. Yes, yes, yes. How are you?
Oh, very fine today. Mm-hmm. But I have a friend here that would like to meet you, Mr. Watson. Mr. John D. Watson.
I see, of course.
Yes, right here.
Because you neglected to mention that it's Dr. John D. Watson.
Oh, hello, Mr. Elms. I'm Dr. Watson.
Of course you're Dr. Watson. Yes, John D. Watson.
It looked like it was all set. I think that I'm sure that I was telling everybody that you were going to be in it, and this was the very beginning of Zoom, so it was going to be the very first group.
Do you recall at all my excitement about this? Or I remember being in the kitchen, right around where the sink is, and it was at night, and I was having a little fantasy in my head about what type of house to buy you. Okay? Wow. What type of house I would buy you with the, in my mind, the millions of dollars or that were going to be coming in from doing this show. I was sort of imagining, you know, different styles of houses, and that, and you were going to be so proud of me because I was going to move you into this house like Elvis did with his parents.
So this wasn't just a case of me wanting to be famous. I wanted the money, too. I thought I was going to be like Jodie Foster or Johnny Whitaker from A Family Affair. My dad had been laid off from his engineering job, and our family was coming out of some pretty hard times in the early 70s, or at least it seemed that way to me at age 10. I thought I could save them. I was banking on it. But then it fell apart, and this is where it gets hazy. I know I invented some stories to protect myself, but now I can't exactly remember which ones, and my parents couldn't help. So I decided to embark on a search for the truth about my past. Even though it had been 25 years, I figured, what the hell, I'd contact the members of that first cast of Zoom.
You know, I continued to be recognized up till my, I think, third year in college. I was registering at NYU, and you know, I was stopped at the front door by someone who recognized me.
That's John. I called him up in New York, where he's a playwright now, and approaching middle age, like all of us. This is him 25 years ago.
She cannot read, read, read. She cannot write, write, write. But she can smoke, smoke, smoke her father's pipe, pipe, pipe. She asks her mother, mother, mother.
I thought John could shed some light on my history, because he was part of the reason, at least as I remember it, that Chris, the producer, cut me from the cast. And then Chris Sarson told me, I'm afraid we've decided internally that we need to add another girl to the cast.
Oh.
And there's too many. We had five boys and two girls, Nina and Nancy.
Yeah.
And what Chris told me was that you and John are both sort of little song and dance men. And so we've just sort of arbitrarily decided that John would work out better than you.
I can't believe they said that. Uh-huh. I cannot believe they said that.
And
oh, my God.
And then said to me, but we're going to roll the cast over in a few months and bring in new kids, and we would like you to be involved then.
Wow.
But my recollection is that I turned down the opportunity to be on the second cast out of youthful hubris. That,
really?
I felt so humiliated.
Oh, man.
So, so I...
So, like, you can title this piece, like, Misery.
Well, I think I felt like
You know, I had my shot. I blew it. I'm no good.
Oh, man.
Why bother?
Yeah, all at age 10. Your life is over at age 10.
John was sympathetic, and I appreciated that. But he didn't remember any of this incident. And no reason he should, I suppose. Why don't you go ahead and open up the package I gave you?
All right.
He and I were in different studios for this interview. And I had sent him a photo that he opened while we were talking on the phone to see if he even remembered me.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, look how little we are. Holy smokes. Now, this really brings back how young we were. Oh. Now, this is you with the blonde hair?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Does it ring any bell whatsoever?
In your suit.
I'll take that as a no.
Yeah, it really, I feel I'm embarrassed.
That's all right.
It's you look like you're a really cute kid. You should have been there. Oh, my God.
We're listening to Dan Gettleman's story, I, Danny, Zoom Revisited, one of the stories which will be heard on the next edition of This American Life. We'll continue in a moment. This is Fresh Air. Let's continue with Dan Gettleman's story, I, Danny, Zoom Revisited, produced by Jay Allison. As we pick up the story, Dan's been visiting some of the original Zoom kids and asking them about their childhood as public television celebrities.
I still have paycheck stubs from back then. I saved them.
Next, I went to visit Joe, another kid from the first cast.
And all the publicity. I mean, God, we must have been in every single newspaper in the United States. We were in Life magazine, Time magazine.
Just what I wanted to hear.
It was a great experience. It was an amazing experience. It's on my CV, you know. Absolutely. I put it on my CV now, you know, when I apply for jobs or as a psychiatrist, you know.
Now Joe is a child psychiatrist. Isn't that perfect? I remember Joe as a nice kid, very magnetic, thoughtful.
Well, I just remember you were blonde, and you were fun, and it seemed a good fit. And I was convinced that you were on the show. I think we all were. But, you know, I guess then we never got together after that, did we? Uh-huh.
No, we didn't. Not until now, all these years later. Talking to Joe, it was like I couldn't help myself, him being a psychiatrist and all. I began to confess. All the kids in my school, I remember them making announcements over the PA system that I was on Zoom. And I was treated, you know, for a brief period of time from being rather a pariah to being a celebrity, and then back again, lower, because the kids felt like I had, you know, lied or something. And the year after my whole Zoom deal, it was really rough. And since then, you know, I'm sure I went through a period where I told some fibs about my experience, if only because it was so humiliating in my mind to what really happened.
You've obviously grown quite a bit. It's to your credit. You must have a good therapist. You know, I think that you actually, of everybody involved in Zoom, probably had the most unique experience, and I can see it as a really devastating experience.
Listen, he's treating me.
I mean, there you are. You're given the prize, and then you say, I'm sorry, you're disqualified. This is tough for anybody, but especially at that age. I mean, your whole self-esteem is mixed into this. You know, there you are. Are you good? Aren't you good? Are you talented? Aren't you talented? What is this? You know, I'm not the right sex. If I was a girl, I would be able to do this, you know? So I think, you know, I don't envy your position. This is a tough position to be in. It's a tough experience to have had.
Joe told me that maybe I've been recreating this past in my relationships, where I might be loved by someone, but I'm always thinking that they could change and decide, no, I don't want to love you.
And I told him about how I had one set of memories in which I was the one who told Zoom that I didn't want to be a part of it.
My guess is if you created this memory where you blew off Zoom instead of the other way around, you might have been just a tad on the angry side, don't you think? Just a little annoyed by this whole event. But it's an incredible experience that you had. And, you know, that needs to be cherished. It is unique. You know, I didn't have that. You know, thank God.
Listen, I know time is up. I had two things I was hoping to do before I walked out the door. Mm-hmm. One of which you're not asked this very often. I'm wondering if you could autograph your picture here. I'm going to ask Tommy to do the same.
Listen to me. I'm getting his autograph. Why? Because he's famous. He's Joe, the Zoom kid.
Well, I mostly remember speaking to you on the phone, like often during that period, I guess, and you were kind of wisecracking, kind of show-busy kind of person that I seemed to get along with pretty well, as I do gravitate towards showbiz phonies, even now.
That's Tommy, another Zoomer from the first cast. He was actually my best friend of that group. We talked all the time on the phone while we were auditioning for the show.
Good part, though.
Include a stamp.
So we can drop you a card. Then dip your note in a bucket of lard.
In a bucket of lard, yeah.
And then Nancy came in.
Yeah. So Joe doesn't know what he's talking about. You put it in an envelope without a doubt.
And then everybody came in.
No, then take your typewriter, pencil, or pen. If you make a mistake, do it again.
I got a real kick out of reminiscing like this. It made me feel like I was still part of things somehow. Tommy really tried to make me feel better. He called me the Pete Best of Zoom, which didn't really help that much, but I knew his heart was in the right place. But what I wanted to know from him was it great being a Zoom kid? What did I miss? Was it great being famous?
Well, I'm sure that the fame must have went to my head because you get so many people walking around kissing your ass and telling you how great you are. And just the fact that you're on TV, people look up to you. It's just the fact that you're on TV is always like the one of the biggest things you can do in America. It doesn't matter what kind of other achievements you can get.
Tommy and some of the others from that first Zoom cast went on to try to make it big. They did a commercial TV show and a record, but nothing really panned out.
Our parents kind of kept the ball rolling, and we got like a lounge band and, you know, tried to play live, and then, you know, things just kind of started fizzling. You know, when things start fizzling down, they fizzle down pretty quick.
Tommy's a video cameraman now. He loves the work, but he still wants to be a rock star. In fact, he gave me a compilation tape of all the bands he's been in over the years, hoping I might use it on this show.
The long-term effects of this on you, you know, when looking back now, you're 39, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been 25 years. How has being a Zoom kid affected you long-term?
It created my dream to work in this business. A dream that I pursue to this day. So it was a very heavy influence. It's hard to live up to it sometimes. You're really hard-pressed to come up with something that's a better, well-known achievement than that. I don't care how many degrees you have, how good you are, or how smart you are. If you're on Zoom, that's what people know you from. So I'll just accept that fact and move on.
Kind of depressing. I confess it made me feel a little better, though. When I got home from talking to Tommy, I listened to his tape.
Once you've done it, it debunks the mystique. You know, because in real life terms, what it meant was you really couldn't walk down the street without being recognized in some way or scrutinized.
This is John again.
There were certain events that were sort of traumatizing, like being mobbed, when a year ago you could go to the mall and just buy your shoes or whatever. Yeah, I'm with friends, and suddenly, hey, there's John. And then three people come in. Of course, will you sign? And then someone decides, oh, it's a good idea to get an autograph. And suddenly you can't move because there are what seems like a multitude. Who knows? Probably it was 20 people. They're demanding your time. They're grabbing your arm. I found it incredibly unpleasant. Because they're looking, they were looking at me and not seeing me. They were seeing some sort of image, and it was a sort of a glazy look, you know, of excitement and unreality.
This kind of helped, hearing this. I began to wonder if maybe I missed something that wasn't so great after all. Whether I wasted a lot of time wishing I was on the show, even pretending sometimes that I was.
We're previewing the documentary I, Danny, Zoom Revisited with reporter Dan Gettiman. You can hear an expanded version of this story on the next edition of This American Life. The documentary was produced by Jay Allison as part of his series, Life Stories. I, Danny, Zoom Revisited will continue in the second half of our program. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss, Cohen in for Terry Gross. Let's continue with I, Danny, Zoom Revisited, a documentary with reporter Dan Gettiman and produced by Jay Allison. It's a preview from the next edition of This American Life, a show which will explore the theme of truth and lies at age 10.
You know what? I want to ask you a question.
All right.
I want to ask you, if it was true, were you ever really going to be on Zoom?
Yes.
I called up Karen. She had nothing to do with Zoom. She just watched it. But she was one of my closest friends during that time.
I've come to distrust some of my own memories and wonder whether, you know, how much of it is was wishful thinking, how much of it was, you know, fantasy or dreams or aspirations, and or what I told people as sort of a cover story.
I guess I should get back to my lie. In the spirit of full disclosure, here's exactly what my lie was. I let people believe that I, Dan Gettiman, was Danny, the Danny, the real Danny on Zoom.
Was there a kid on the show named Danny?
Yes.
Do I remember that right? Yeah. And I remember trying to make him be you because I wanted you to be on that show so much. I thought, well, maybe that's Danny. Maybe he just looks very different on television. Sounds different.
He was actually in the second cast.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really intend to impersonate him or anything, but some of the time, I would just kind of go with it, you know, and say, yeah, I was Danny, which, you know, technically speaking was true. And and they would get all excited and think that they were with a celebrity. So I did get some mileage out of that.
Oh, I was totally impressed.
This is my friend, Angela.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I knew somebody who'd actually been on Zoom. It would be like knowing, you know, the guy who did Oscar the Grouch or something. But then I was very sorry to hear that you were kicked off. I think you would have made a fine Zoomer. Actually, I know what my response was. My response was, you weren't Danny, were you? That's what it was. Now, if that had been the case, I don't know what I would have done. If you'd really been Danny, it would probably be almost like, not quite, well, it wouldn't exactly be like meeting Donny Osmond, but, you know, it would have been up there, I would say. Yeah.
So you were disappointed when you found out?
Well, I wasn't disappointed, but, you know, it was a nice little thought there for a moment that maybe you might have actually been him.
You know, I think everyone I talked to really wanted to make me feel better. It's okay that you weren't the real Danny. You're a perfectly good Danny. By the way, do you know the real Danny? I called him up.
Come on and zoom, come on and zoom, zoom, come on and zoom, come on and zoom, zoom. How's that?
That sounds great.
Thanks.
Great
song.
I have spent almost 25 years since my own involvement briefly with Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Being mistaken for you.
No.
My name is Danny, you've never seen me, but I have, when I was the age, we're about the same age, and I had long blonde hair down to my shoulders, thick Boston accent, it's gone now, and we actually resembled each other a little bit.
Wow.
So as my teen years progressed, I would meet somebody, often a member of the opposite sex, and I would start to tell them the story of how I almost got on Zoom. And they would look at me, and they would kind of size me up, and they'd say, "You're Danny. I remember you. You're Danny."
That's funny.
And I have to be honest with you, I did not always correct them.
That's great. That's funny.
Okay, I confessed. I'll skip over this part, but basically, Danny was nice about it. Maybe a little embarrassed for me, maybe a little flattered. Like Tommy, he sent me a tape of the band he's in, just in case I wanted to use it in this show. Here it is, by the way. One last chance. Last chance. I told Danny about my friend Angela and how she was in love with him, second only to Donny Osmond. And he was flattered by that. So I asked him a favor, to say hi to her, to give her kind of a radio autograph.
If we could take 15 seconds, you would make this woman's day. She's now, you know, in her early 30s. And just send a message out there to Angela.
Hi, Angela. This is Danny from Zoom. And I heard you are my biggest fan. It's great to get an opportunity to thank you for watching Zoom and being a fan of mine. That means a lot to me. And I do get around. If you're ever up in the Boston area, look me up and it'd be great to get together and say hi in person. Take care and best of luck to you.
See how his voice sounds? He knows he's the real Danny, that he can improvise a long paragraph like that to a complete stranger, a stranger who he assumes would want to look him up if they ever came to town. And in fact, he's probably right. He did it. He was a Zoomer. It's part of him, like Joe the psychiatrist says.
It satisfied a very important part of my life, you know, that sense of having had that fame, having had that sense of being somebody special. And I don't need to do that anymore. It's nice. I just got to go on.
Do you remember me at all?
Oh, sure. The I don't remember your audition, and I don't remember, although I certainly hope when I open the envelope I'll get a chance to see your face.
Ground zero of my search. Chris Sarson, the producer who rejected me. He's sitting in a studio in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm in a studio in Kentucky.
Why don't you go ahead and open up the envelope I sent you and see if this does any good to jog your memory.
Open it.
This was awkward.
It's like Christmas. Christmas revisited.
I kind of put him on the spot.
Good heavens. I remember you much better now.
As I suspected, he didn't really remember who I was, but he was nice about it.
It's a picture of presumably you. It doesn't have it. Oh, wait a minute. It's a note. This is me, Kirk.
Obviously, this moment was a lot bigger in my life than in his.
Well, let me tell you what I recall of what happened and how I came to not be picked for the cast, etc. And tell me if this sounds plausible.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm blushing already. We'd picked you.
Well, you know, what can you do? This is what I recall. Is
so I told him what I remembered, and he thought my memory was probably right, but he wasn't sure. And by this time, I've realized it doesn't matter much anyway, and that's incredibly liberating.
Correct me if I'm wrong, nobody really went on to a major showbiz career.
Well, I think it's lovely where the kids did end up.
Chris told me about the other cast members. Most of them went on to lead a variety of perfectly ordinary lives. None are big stars. One sings with a symphony. There are teachers, doctors, musicians. One was homeless for a while, and some reported having trouble in the aftermath of their brief fame on Zoom.
They were profoundly embarrassed that they'd been on that kid show, you know. And one guy said that it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that he was able to get out and finally admit without ashamed that he was on the Zoom cast. So it may not have been all rosy if you'd got on the show, Dan.
Okay, I understand that now. I really do. Chances are it wouldn't have changed my life. But still, I'd take it. That special time. That attention. When all is said and done, I'd take my chances. I'd rather be a Zoom kid than just a kid. Wouldn't you? But it's okay. I'm still in the game. I write songs now. As a matter of fact, that's me singing one of my original tunes in the background. And I'd like you to know that my tape is available, by the way.
Braces in the car is needing struts. Now top of them, the dog is getting flayed.
The name is Dan Gettyman, not Danny.
Though we're getting older and our hair is turning gray, will I still remember Highwayman just like it's yesterday? How I wanted you in every way. Well, I began to fall in love right before your very eyes, and I knew I was it gone up from the start. You had taken some possession.
Dan Gettyman's story, I, Danny, Zoom Revisited, was produced by Jay Allison as part of his ongoing series, Life Stories, and will be heard on the next edition of This American Life, a Public Radio International program produced at WBEZ in Chicago. The crew at This American Life are cooking up a show as we speak, exploring the theme of truth and lies at age 10. Our thanks to This American Life host and producer, Ira Glass. If you'd like to find out more about This American Life, you can check out their website at www.thislife.org. Dan Gettyman's CD is available at 1-800-BUY-MY-CD. Funds for Life Stories comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. Last but not least, this is Fresh Air.